combination of all of us. Yours too. Any questions you want about your life and your expansion and your evolution, what's going on in your world? I love that. But the thing I remind you is when you call in, please give at least your first name. You don't have to give your second name. But it's nice. It sort of is. I'm realizing something about names that I love, that it is a vibrational signature of who you are in your soul. I wasn't going to talk about this, but it's kind of interesting that the soul is what chooses our name in the first place. Apparently, it's the first big decision it makes as you arrive on this planet this time around. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it? So when you say your name, there's a kind of a light up of vibrations running through your being. I love that. We're so magical. Oh, my gosh. I've been talking to, I don't know how many of you listened to Paradigm Shifters the last Tuesday night. We had another conversation with Elias Lonsdale. And oh my gosh, the thing I really love about talking to him, he's an astrologer and he's a transcendent astrologer. He's a kind of astrologer who takes you through. Now, he's a long-term spiritual follower of, I think he had a guru for a long time, but he also is an incredible scholar, and he also tries out what he learns, or he practices what he learns. So he's a very, very learned man, and he has a wonderful spiritual, a huge spiritual light. And for those of you who didn't hear the show, is when his wife died, they were both very spiritual, and they worked together. She was a body worker, he's the astrologer, but both of them on their path. And whilst she was passing with cancer, they worked together amazingly. Talk about radiance by design. Vibrationally, they worked together and they really intermingled. Their frequencies were all empathic, but they got very, very conscious and transformative about it. And then when she crossed over finally, after an awful lot of research into the kinds of things she wants to release, my guides always say that clearing is 95% of the job as we want to evolve or ascend or self-actualize. So she was hot on the trail of a lot of clearings by the time she passed. And he, when she crossed through, he went with her and so did the hospice worker. He stayed out longer with her and then returned. But he returned having a deep, deep commitment and bond, vibrational bond, with Sarah, his wife. And she's still very much with him. And he's been channeling material, writing down the material that she shares with him about being on the other side. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is like all the work we do, and you and I, and we're working on clearing, and we get into these confrontations with money and lineage and, oh, kids and politics, and gosh, it seems like a big job to be on the planet. But sometimes when you have that kind of perception or you talk with somebody whose wisdom is incredible about being on both sides or what goes on out there, you really get the picture of why it is we're clearing and clearing and clearing and why it is we're having these amazing episodes of being kind of trapped and then finding the power to clear ourselves. And what we learn from Sarah's journey and from other people who do either near-death experiences and studies or, teach from the other side like Osho and so on. We learn a lot about the levels of consciousness that we can gather on the other side. So that was a long preamble to say that Elias Lonsdale is giving some online classes starting next Wednesday night. And you can check into them. And his classes are going to be about transcendent astrology. And he really wants them to be those kinds of classes where all the people tuning in can truly activate a certain level of consciousness, of clearing, and of integration so that you can meet a higher level. One of the things that Sarah, his wife, said in the channelings that he did of her was that a lot of people, when you die, you become kind of dead souls, right? This is an option. But a lot of people, when you die, become wiser and wiser. And that there's this, I think I've got this right, there's this wise flow or this flow of wisdom that is around all life and that we the flow of wisdom, is he calls it the wise souls, the sage souls, however you want to present it. I'd like to be one of those when I cross through, and I'm sure you would too. Become a part of this incredible community or stream of wisdom, consciousness, and higher frequency energies that want to work very much with beings on this side. So there are, remember, there's all kinds of beings that aren't going to be fitting into that mold and might be rerunning their patterns, even if they're off the planet. But there is this other stream she talks about that's going to really make a difference. We keep talking about the shift, and the way I have interpreted what I read of the book and of talking to Elias, it was about the shift being helped and brought forward by this connection that we make with the higher, and that you and I making connections with our higher selves and our guides and angels, and the more beings who connect with their higher aspects, the more possible it is for this shift to be simply outrageous. The shift is supposed to take place between somewhere around 2008 and 2015, so I don't think you're going to be able to book your flight on the shift flight for December the 21st, 2012, although there'll be lots and lots of big energies around that. But I don't think we're going to be able to book it like that. I think it has a lot of kind of flexibility, time to make the connection, time for it all to happen, time for all of us to sort of line up with the stars and with the impulses of the universe, the zodiac, the people, whatever. It takes a little while for everything to get integrated. And this show is all about you and I becoming conscious about how we can release, how we can clear, and how we can keep ascending, or we can bring our fields up to a higher and higher level and really add or contribute to the collective of beings around the planet, or the collective of life, or the massive life that is around the planet. One of the other things he talked about, which I loved, was how the Earth itself, and he talked about all of us have had pagan lives, you know, where you're really like, I took it as to be like druids, where you're actually on the planet and you're really connected to the Earth and you know the wisdom and the pulses of the Earth. And I know because I've talked to a lot of you individually, and some of you do talk about being so vibrationally aligned with our planet. And he talks about how the planet is a living, loving, nurturing being. And it's like we're seeds coming off this living, loving, nurturing being. So it's nice just thinking about that and thinking of the streams of wisdom out there when we get beyond this plane, and thinking about having our rapport, quiet and steady, blessed rapport with Mother Earth. Because he says she's fully capable of healing herself, but we just need to participate by being, I would say, in cahoots, by being magically in alignment with all that exists, including Mother Earth and her deep breathing, pulsing self. Whoa! Of course, we're not going to talk about all these other things and politics and everything else that we have to deal with. It seems that the most important thing is for us to really reattune ourselves, slow ourselves down, pay attention to what we're feeling in any moment, clear the stuff that's in the way, and bless the union between the Mother, Father, God, Source, Energy, our union between those and Mother Earth. It's a pretty exciting life when you look at that. Because we're kind of stumbling through the labyrinth of places where we've lost connection and trying to find our way back in some ways, aren't we? Anyhow, let's do our meditation, because to me this is always a wonderful way for us to connect and become community together. Again, I'm working with my own wonderful coalescence of guides and angels and our higher selves, and they love to talk to you. So after we do our meditation, you can actually email me, because I have my little computer right here, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. You can email a question, and it's very easy for me to receive it, or you can call in, and we'll give you the numbers right after the meditation. Are ya ready? a deep breath. Now, above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. You all know this one, don't you? And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop the filaments of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine to the lower golden ball. And from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid and upside down to meet it point to point. Another four-sided pyramid. And its lower point goes into the lower golden ball. Okay, now you have an octahedron, an eight-sided figure. And inside that figure, create a crystal ball. Oh, boy, it's beautiful. And there's a lot of shimmering, opaque colors, spectral hue. Good. And inside of that, there you are. You're in a star tetrahedron, and remember that filament of light is running right through your spine from the upper ball to the lower ball. And you're in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. And have yourself spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you spin and spin and spin and spin, see that wonderful magical screen in front of you. We call it magical because we can move it around, make it big, small, separate parts of it, whatever we want, and we're the movie makers too. So as you're looking at your first magical screen, I want you to create a little movie on it showing you becoming what it is you truly want to become on this planet in this lifetime. I want to be consciously multidimensional. Consciously multidimensional and coming from the heart. And then when you see yourself achieving what it is you want, you don't have to do what I do. You can. You don't have to do what I do. So whatever it is you see, want to see yourself becoming, see yourself achieving that and feel really, really happy for yourself. And wrap that in light. Move it over to the side. Now the second screen is all about you and what it is you want to create. It might be a project like a home and family. Some people want to find their amazing partner. Some people want to write a book, a movie, travel the world over. See yourself, see your project, and see all the resources coming together to create this project. And it's very exciting. And then see all the resources coming together to create your project. And when the project is just about done, give yourself a high five. And now we see that the resources and the money and the time all flow to your project to keep it sustaining itself. Okay, and now wrap that in light, and let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. The Galactic Healing Center is an amazing place. It's we see a healing table, and all around the table, these are these wondrous beings, and they come from anywhere in the galaxy, anywhere you imagine them to come from. Yeah, and I see them ringing the table, and as they ring the table, they might have a lot of different shapes and sizes, and that's okay. First person that comes in to lie on the table is you, and you come in there hopefully with an idea of what it is you want, and they're going to do healing work with you. So hop up on the table, and either you tell them what you'd like or ask them what you need. All right, and then see what they do, feel what they do. That's it. So when you really can feel that something's going on, wrap that in light and move it to the side because it can keep stewing. They'll keep working on you. Now we have a fresh table, and our healing team is, as we said, magic, and it can replicate itself and stand around the table. We have a fresh table, and who do we bring in? We're going to bring in a little guy, and this is a very interesting little guy who, let me see here. Okay, so he's a really interesting little guy, but because he's been through a lot in his 7 or 8 years, he tells fabulous lies, okay? So then on searching underneath the lies, well, maybe we'll just leave it to the team to see what they say about it, okay, instead of me trying to read it for them. We want to help this little one feel the difference between expressing himself, being creative, and lying to people. And now what they're doing is they're pulling something out of his belly area. The belly houses the subconscious, the karma, everything left over. It's funny because little kids work really fast, and they reached in and they were pulling something from his belly, and his whole body flipped. And it looked very, very different. It looked freer, more confident. And now they're working with him. Who's on your table, and how are they working with that person? Okay. And now we're going to let them continue with this little guy. And now we're putting someone else on the table. Let's see who wants to come in. Okay, here's a person who's going through a terrific amount of grief right now. And she doesn't know. Now, this is something we should all learn something about, but she's not sure how to handle it. So let's lie her down and ask the team for some support here. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they immediately go right to her heart. What they want to do is soothe the heart because her heart is kind of spasming at a certain level. I've never seen that before. Okay, and so they're moving the energy through the heart. Now you can bring anybody you want on the table. I'm just giving you this one as an example. Okay, and they're pulling out some, it seems like there's some genetic and childhood stress, and it's located both in the belly area, in the subconscious, karma, everything left over, intestinal tract area, and in the brain, deep in the brain. So they're moving energy patterns in both the belly and the brain. Because they both run right into the heart, and the heart that's kind of panicking because of its attachment being gone. This one loves the one that's gone. Yet there's also another thing, which is a deep attachment and a fear of early childhood loss or some kind of big difficulties when she was little. So you see, almost everything that we go through, every reaction has got more than one place on your legend in which it was activated, right? So they're pulling things out of her head, out of her heart, soothing her heart, and pulling out of the belly, and now they're pulling out of the base chakra. What's going on with yours? Maybe when you call in after, you can tell me what you experienced in the meditation. Now, her energy is pulsing and going beautifully, so wrap that in light and move it over to the side, and let's bring in another one. Now, this is a woman who's really overweight, and I say that because she's tried periodically to lose weight, but she's got all these vertebrae are out, and in that problem, you can see the problem there. She can't carry her own weight around without it causing problems with the vertebrae, and if she doesn't move her body quite a bit, guess what happens? She gets heavier, so there's a problem, isn't there? And there's a really deep depression in her. So we're asking the team, my goodness, what can we do for her? And now they're, again, now this time they're pulling out vertically, they're pulling out of her head and out of her feet. A great long strings of vibrational energy. What is it, the reconnection people say that these strings of energy are light and information. So we're pulling out a lot. There you are. And as we pull them out, as I'm participating with the team, there's a lightness happening in her belly. It's funny. Yeah, it's like a whole lot of material that's coming out with these streams of energy. And now they're focusing, now they're soothing, they're clearing energy and soothing her body. And she might even feel, I know who this person is, so I may call her later and see if she feels any different. But that she might even feel a lessening of the pressures that are on her back and on her neck. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's, she needs a lot of time, so let's wrap that in light and put her over on the side. And I want to do one more. A little girl who almost died. I'm doing all girls. Oh, no, the first one was a boy. Almost died in utero because her mom was on, she was having a terrible time holding the fetus, but she also was having major seizures, and they were putting her on medications. Anyway, this little one is now a teenager, and she's having a hard time managing some of her moods and her angers and so on. We know it isn't her fault, as is the case with most people and their biochemical disruptions that came on. So we're just asking the team if they can, there you are, if they, there you are. And they're pulling. And it's interesting because they're just pulling certain kinds of, we'll call it again, information from her. And something in her belly area. Yeah, that's good. Now wrap that in light, move it over to the side. Okay. Now we're going to bring in the... this is the fun part. We're bringing in some politics, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready to fight the political battle here on our little healing table? So we're bringing in our healing table, and let's bring in all the people running for office. Here we got the Republicans, and we got the Democrats, and we've got, what would we call it? The spin, the media spin. So it's pretty hard sometimes to know who's what or why, what really means what it is. And it seems to me the big joke is that there's a whole machine running the government, and there's a lot of lobbying, and there's the super PACs and all of that hogwash, but it's creating most of the results. So what's wrong with this picture? Yeah. I think, so we're going to wrap, what are we going to do here? Asking the team for help. We're bringing the team in again, because remember, they can replicate themselves. There you go. And now we're going to call, it's making me yawn or something. We're going to call in amazing energies from out in the universe. Remember, there's so many really staunch downloads coming in. Remember our preamble at the beginning, we were talking about how there's just so much on the other side that wants to work, so much wisdom, so much consciousness on the other side that wants to work with us to help us expand or flesh out the kind of world that we want to have. So as we're doing our political hoo-ha, wouldn't it be interesting if we could see all the people involved, or at least the majority of the people involved, caring a lot that people know the truth of what's going on, so they can choose from it being truthful. So let's, what I like to do is let's be really magical and be cocky about it. Why not? Let's call in this amazing bright energy from the other side, from way out there, from the great central sun, from the universe's downloads, in through our top of our heads, down, swirling into the neck and down into the heart, swirling and whirling, whirling in the heart, and shooting out through our arms and our hands, reaching out. And now with our hands, we send up through the perineum or the feet, whichever place you think about the easiest, up through as many of the beings involved in creating all the drama for the election as possible. We just keep, there you go, sending it up there. And so we're infusing as many people as possible. That's right. With this wonderful light. And the light is harmony. The light is wanting people to feel the need to harmonize. Isn't that what the shift is? It's win-win. It's a rapport with Mother Earth, the rapport with the universes, and with new frequencies coming through. It's really exciting. And so we want to feel and see and know that these people want that rapport, or they're going to awaken to the possibility of having that rapport ascended through each one of them. I love that concept. Maybe you've got something to add when you call in. And now let's wrap that scenario in light and then continue with this amazing light that's pouring out of your hands and pat places on the earth where there's any kind of trauma, where there's wars, there's bloodshed, there's sick people, there's dying people, there's food, there's starvation, there's coal trains destroying huge sections of our world over here. There's the Isaac, the hurricane. Let's send light on that and the destruction that came from BP. There we go. And I'm sure over in Japan, it's still pretty rough. There we go. Keep sending this beautiful, beautiful light to all these different places. Because remember, as we move the light consciously through, we can do a tremendous amount of healing. I know we can. And now let's send the light round and round and round the planet, loving our planet, loving Mother Earth, and have it come back up into our hands, into our heart. Back up through the neck, up through the head, and way out into the great central sun. Here we are. Back into, turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center and jump into your star tetrahedron and let's spin and spin and spin. I keep seeing Obama spinning and spinning and spinning. That might be a nice suggestion from our guides to lift and support some of our candidates. All right, so now here we are. So what's going on in your world? I know that the phone number is on the screen, but I'll give it to you, and Bob's getting it for me right now. I'd love you to phone in and tell me what's going on in your world and whether you're, are you finding that you're constrained? Is your creativity coming forward? I think we've got a full moon in Pisces. Is it tonight? Tomorrow, because I'm seeing the moon beginning to emerge, and it's huge. And I'm thinking, full moon in Pisces, that's got to be all about creativity, doesn't it? So call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. What's going on in your world? How's it going with jobs? How are you doing with your own personal transformation? How are your kids doing? What do you want to see in the election? What here's a political thing. There was a nun on Facebook. It was a forward on Facebook. I don't know how many of you saw it. And, you know, there's been all this pro-life, pro-abortion stuff. And she's going, how can people call themselves pro-life when in all the concerns, they're not talking about whether we're going to be able to feed, whether we're interested in feeding and loving, supporting, looking after, finding medical for, finding schools for these kids. Nobody's talking about that. And that, to me, is pro-life, is what she said. So I thought that was pretty good. The fact that it's a nun took me back to the 60s when some of the nuns and priests were really acting out to create disruptions where people were kind of in a trance or in a coma about injustices. I think they were working to stop the Vietnam War, if I remember correctly. So, let me see what else we're going to talk about. We've been talking about the rising of the feminine. How many of you have experienced that? How do you see that? I don't see that many women running in the Republican Party. I haven't seen... you know what? I have to tell you the truth about myself, which is I don't pay that much attention to politics because I'm always afraid that it's going to affect my thinking. And when we do the healing about political activity and the media, one of my pet peeves is that the media is, I suppose it's, you could call it the peer for the kids. It's influencing everybody's mind, right? What do you think about that? Let's go back into the rising of the feminine. I'm just taking a look at some of you here. You know what I keep seeing out there? I keep seeing some really exhausted people. Why is that? How many of you are exhausted right now? Why is it? Do you feel like you're pressured by your job? There's a woman I'm looking at. She's so tired, but she's all dressed up professionally. And she looks like... she looks like she's very philosophical and she's spiritual, but she looks like she's just like drained and exhausted by the way the life is going. Is that so? Because what we need to do is look at that kind of thing in ourselves. So take a look at yourself. The survival, it's not the survival of the feminine that we want. It's the rising of the feminine. It's the recognition. What's going to empower my friend here who's standing there in her professional clothes looking just absolutely drained? What she's saying to me is that she does so much and she doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, either with recognition or income and so on. So what does it mean, the rising of the feminine? I think one of the things we have to learn is what is the feminine? What is the ideal feminine? What is a rising of the feminine? What's it going to bring up in me that maybe I'm not achieving so far or experiencing so far? What do you think it is? And when I'm looking at her, I'm going, I think she feels deep down, kind of downtrodden. When we're talking about the rising of the feminine, we're not talking about staying downtrodden. We're talking about the feeling of awakening to the fact that it isn't less than or it needn't be less than to be feminine is really important. Remember that if we don't see it in ourselves, we don't actually heal it. See what I mean? So she's seeing, she looks like she's downtrodden and she's accustomed to not being treated as well as kind of the men. She's working very hard. She's doing a lot of things well. Her family came out okay and she's exhausted. So let's just take some energy and do some clearing on her. Mm-hmm. She's a really good person. She puts in her time. And one of the things that the feminine has done too much of is take responsibility and put up with. See what I mean? Responsible. That's what I'm getting. She's going, I've done so much. I've done things right. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. We don't get recognized. That sort of thing. So let's call in the presence. Yeah. Now let's call in the violet flame. Shall we do that? And we're going to send a violet flame up through this woman's perineum, and it could go up through anybody's perineum to burn and burn that feeling of long-suffering, of tolerance, putting up with, being used to, being mistreated or being put back into the background. We're just going to keep running that energy through her body, mind. Yeah. Now remember, we're all connected, so a whole bunch of you are going to feel this as well, aren't you? Yes. And as she moves and changes, then you know what happens? She's much more able to realize that she's done well instead of it being just putting up with and being like that. She has done really well with herself. So that, yeah, and so I want to see some more qualities of the feminine. Okay, now the feminine is perceptive. Community-oriented. Yeah. perceptive, community-oriented, creative, can do many, many things at a time. Sometimes it's a bit tiring, isn't it? Yeah. And what else? Funny, I'm getting a little group of women here that are a little bit scattered. And wanting to install, oh, I know what it is. It's kind of wanting to bring together some kind of community around, this is fun. I see a group of women, and it's like you guys are trying to start a, like a charter school, because I see you trying to start a community thing around children, and it's a charter school. What is it about? And it's about, one of them said, it's about the rising of the feminine. And the school is based on, let's see here. Yeah, and we're going to infuse this school with light, because the school is based on people being nurturing, being kind, being very creative, learning about manners, learning about the elegance of being a human being. That's very exciting. And it looks like you're looking for funding right now. And what I'm seeing, okay, so I'm seeing the plan, and I'm seeing the potential building. So let's just call in some light, and let's send light to that potential building. It's a really good idea, because what I see coming off it, when you get it going, it's not going to take you that long. You're going to find that there's these interesting kind of satellite organized areas that come off it and have to do with performance. I guess creative output, because you've got all these different, it's like the school itself becomes the central hub, and then coming off the hub, there are all these like little trails that lead to, for example, a performance center, lead to a creative outlet. It might even be your own publishing group, because it looks like it's, well, you know, and I know, it's easy enough to do our own publishing these days, isn't it? So it looks like there's going to be all kinds of out products coming from that. And it's quite interesting. I'm very, very pleased. I've never seen such a thing. I think it's a wonderful idea. But the why it's coming up with the feminine is because it recognizes the needs of people to express themselves and to support one another. It's very nice. And you're going to get money for it, so don't panic. There's one woman who's kind of small and very feisty. She looks like she's forever young, you know, that kind of person. And she's really concerned about getting this done. So she's a very good leader. Keep it going. Keep it going. Now let's look over here. Now, one of the things about the feminine that I keep thinking of, and this is a very kind of plebeian thing, is that the feminine used to be known for and is potentially known for nurturing, right? There's a lot of people not being nurtured, especially in this country. Have you noticed that? So what I'm seeing here is that hang on a sec. Funny, because this is a fellow who's considering this as well, that there's a possibility of people, you know, we're fighting about health care and health care reform, and people are using such incredible prejudicial things. Nobody says, it's really important to look after ourselves so we have a more powerful country. I've never heard anybody say that. That's how I feel about it. But anyway, here's what they're showing me right now, is that there are some seniors getting together. These aren't quite seniors. Some of them are in their 50s. This is a small group of people, and they're in their 50s and 60s. Oh, there's two of them that are in their 70s, I think. Anyway, there are ideas they're going to bring together. And I heard a little thing like this, but this looks a bit different. But I heard something on NPR like this. And they're creating their own community. And in that community, they're going to look after each other as they get older. But one of the things, a little like our group that's doing the school, in the community, what they're going to have is a kind of a cottage industry situation. They all want to put their heads together, and they want to help I want to say, and this is very chauvinist of me, oh, there's a couple of guys going to be there. They're going to fix things so that everybody's houses stay okay. And they've got some system of doing, I don't know if they're prefabbed homes or some prefab homes in and amongst some houses that already belong to a couple of the people. And they've got a couple of the guys that are part of this group that are going to be fixing things up. But there's also a little hub place, sort of like our school had, and in that hub, there's all kinds of little products that they're going to use, whether it's some foods that they could share or whether it's clothing, things. But anyway, their plan is, and they've already started, is to create a lot of their own needs, to fulfill a lot of their own needs with sewing, with cooking, with sharing. There's body workers, there's nutritionists. There's a whole bunch of qualities there. There's a kind of there's a garden, but it's not huge, but there's a greenhouse, so they can grow a lot of their own things. And the idea is that the places are small-ish, and they can afford them, and it's just a real nice community. It's a really interesting community consciousness thing. And what I see also is that the spiritual, the connection to beyond is very powerful, and that they're... the concept is to be calling forth. Remember we talked about how Elias's book, Elias's wife Sarah, he channeled her from the other side, and she was talking about the flows of wisdom on the other side. They're saying that these people are going to be having a kind of, it sounds kind of Quakerish in a way, having a meditation gathering and calling in their connections on a regular basis so that they can lift and resolve some of the needs that they have to keep themselves both getting along, right? Because getting along is always one of our major problems, and about coming up with ideas and how not only getting along, but actually evolving in such a way that they can become more and more viable. Kind of good. I really like that. So now let's see who else. So you're not going to call in. Are you going to leave me blab here for hours on end? Although I do like these little projects that you people are showing me from out there. And remember that we all want to connect to the higher. Maybe that's... Okay, so let's take a look at somebody. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at somebody, and we're going to see that she's frustrated, she's corralled, she's kind of cornered, okay? And I don't know why. She's a different one than the one we first talked about, but this one also feels like she's overworked, she's working really hard, and she can barely make ends meet, so she's kind of doing a treadmill thing. So what we're going to do is get on to connect her with her higher self. Let's connect her with the higher self. Let's remind her that out there, it's absolutely amazing. So what she's accomplishing on this planet isn't whether she has a new hairdo, whether she has an amazing salary or a fancy house or any of that stuff. It's really about her own personal evolution. That's what she's connecting to. So we're connecting to her higher self, those beings of light beyond there, and her personal evolution. And how can you do that? She's going, how can I do that? I'm saying, everybody just take a deep breath. Another deep breath. Oh, goody, I'll just finish this and then you're on the air. And then we're going to reach with our mind's eye and say, you're welcome to use my nervous system. You're welcome to use my brain and my heart for the greater good of all. I always say in the name of Mother, Father, God, or the Christ thing. Yeah. And then this woman, it's funny because my... Hi, I'll just be 1 minute. This woman just stood up straight. She was kind of bent over. And it's really amazing. You can get a lot of new perceptions that way. So I think we've got two waiting. So the first one, you're on the air.
Hey, Veronica. It's Sandy from Ojai.
Hi, Sandy from Ojai. How are you, darling?
I could use some inspiration. I didn't want to leave you hanging, so... And blabbing, but it was beautiful blabbing.
So, are you still in Ojai?
I am still in Ojai. It feels like, you know, it's like I could use a little inspiration from the tomb. Like, the trust that resurrection actually does occur after the tomb phase. Because I seem to have thrown out the keys to the door of the tomb.
You're funny.
So it's like everything's like shutting down. It's like, it's so bizarre that, you know, it's just, it's like I look at every aspect and I'm kind of living in this home that just feels like it's just not my home. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel nourishing. And everything has shut off. Creativity has shut off. Energy has shut off. Sales of art have shut off. Like, it's just kind of flatlined. So,
and how's your health?
I could use a little faith.
Yeah.
How's my health?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to say. My body's, you know, has its freaked out quite a bit, just with being empathic and overly sensitive. So it just kind of feels like a big old crossroads. But
yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to get across the road.
Who, do you have a brother? Do you have there's a male coming in, and I don't think it's a lover man, which would be nice, but somebody's got an idea for you. Somebody has an idea for you, but I think it's, do you have a brother?
I do. He's on the East Coast.
Is he also an artist?
No.
There's a fellow that there's somebody you're going to make connection with, and I believe they're south. Didn't we used to say you'd be going south? Because it looks like it's south. Go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about south, and we talked about the desert. Mm-hmm. Originally, but yeah, I still feel pretty locked in here for some reason. Like there's no inspiration to get in the car and just go. Not even
Are you just kind of depressed?
I would say that, yeah, because it just feels life is kind of all the faucets kind of feel shut off. So I'm starting to feel a little bit hopeless that things are going to, as I said, like resurrect and yeah. So, you know, I was just wondering if something might be coming in too.
Yeah, there is something coming in. It's like there's a little, and I think we saw this before, there's kind of a community, and it's coming, it's as if you're going to meet, it seems like it's somebody who's like a brother. So whoever this guy is not going to be your lover. And there's another woman involved, and I think she's also part of a community consciousness. And maybe they're listening to the show. I don't know. But they seem to come from farther south. And I see you don't travel. You need to travel a little bit, honey, because you got to meet people somehow. You got to get out of there. You're in a lock.
It's just, you know, the traveling is hard with the empath thing. And I tend to just travel and pick everything up and go down the tubes. So driving down the road, I'll just become a giant clearing mechanism, and it makes it really hard for me.
Maybe you're a dust devil, eh?
What's that?
I was making a joke. I said maybe you're just a dust devil. You have to learn how to clear. You have to learn how to protect yourself better, my friend. Because
yes, I know.
It's very difficult being an empath. Believe me, I know. But on the other hand, when you master it, now I don't ever master it 100%. I master it most of the time, okay, and then I get blindsided. But when you use it, it becomes an amazing tool to find out what's there and what's good and what's bad. It's like a Geiger counter, you know. And and you've got to learn. You have to learn because Sandy, you need to get out of there. It feels like a little bit of a flat line.
What I'm hoping is something comes in and sweeps me out of here rather than me journeying around trying to find it.
Yeah, I think that is going to happen. Are you still living in the same house?
No, I moved to another place, and that place is the place I'm in now is pretty, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably a 1. So it's fairly uncomfortable here, and as I said, not nourishing mm-hmm. on any level. So I was actually looking to move again within Ojai to find maybe a more nourishing place within Ojai. But what you're saying is just get out of Dodge.
Yeah, because your reasoning for being there for, I think it was 8 or 10 months or something, I don't like it. I want you out of there. And it seems like it's not that far away where you'll go. Well, because, you know, that you're an empath, energy of the land can be like a still point. The energy of the land can yeah. be like a sinkhole. It can be, you know, years ago I turned myself into a Geiger counter and I drove over the land for 4 months, actually. And it was amazing. My energy went up and down and up and down. It was really strange. I learned a lot. Everybody thought I was a noodle, but never mind about that. But
well,
I look
you
at
know,
you, and I want to put you
say...
somewhere where there's more vibrance. There's and in a way, it's more physically active, like there's a lot more shops and things, which I know you don't like, but I think you need that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I think I have a hesitancy about, I seem to not be wanting to move towards the coast. Like that to me feels like I don't know if I'm going to be on the coast in the coming years. So if anything, I was thinking of heading inland, maybe to Sedona or thereabouts.
Okay, well, I wouldn't recommend Sedona for you, but I would recommend something like Palm Desert, Palm Springs.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that last time.
And I'm not sure why, except that I think Sedona has another kind of trap for a lot
okay.
of people, you know. Yeah. And I'm just talking as an intuitive right now, just going like that, and it seems to me that you'll go south and inland a little. And there are people
okay.
there that have to do with both spirituality and art. And I'm not sure how you find them, but it doesn't look like it's hard. Seems like they come somewhere where you go. Are you going to take a workshop or something? And I have to go because I think we have another person on and it's almost time up.
Good. you know, I don't have anything on the docket, but I will definitely start to put my feelers out and maybe take a trip to Palm Springs, as you've said, for the 100th time to do.
Oh, I'm glad I'm repeating myself. Sandy, it's always good to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, all Veronica. Right. Bye-bye.
Much love. And I think we have one more person online, and we're allowed to stay on till the top of the hour today, so we're lucky.
Hi, Veronica. It's Diane.
Hi, Diane. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, can you see that moon out there?
Yeah. I don't know if I can see it right now, but I did see it this morning, and it's supposed to be full tomorrow.
Yeah, it's hanging out in front of us like somebody just blew a bubble.
Mm. I see it in the morning when I go to work.
Oh, good, yeah, which is the crack of dawn with you. So what's up with you, darling? You're looking good.
I'm just feeling better and better all the time.
Well, you're clearing more and more. You have some... Go ahead.
I think we're always clearing, of course, but it's sort of like this, the last thing in the phase of my life sort of feels like clearing my fear of my own power.
Oh, yay. It feels like you're getting two things. You're getting much, now this is the feminine, isn't it? You're getting much stronger and much softer. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Really, these last few months, just like sitting and doing my inspirational writing and not doing so much, but doing more being and connecting. It's just been, which is totally the feminine. It's just like I'm sinking into that.
Well,
and
you are.
It's been fabulous.
Isn't it wonderful? Because it's given you, I just want to give you a big hug and say it's given you such a soft inner. It's very beautiful, actually. You have another learning curve coming up, but you want that because you're not really sure how to go into the next professional level. And I think you're going to use all this newfound softer power in the next professional level. So that's going to come up as a nice bit of a challenge for you.
So what does this learning curve look like?
No, it doesn't look somebody has. It doesn't look like the big Monty Python foot or anything, if you know what that is. Do you know what the Monty Python foot is?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not like connecting specifically, but I get the picture.
Yeah, it's just a big foot that comes out of the sky and goes. But it's not that at all. It's simply all of a sudden you're going to find yourself. And this is a prediction. You can change anything I predict, as you know. But you're going to find yourself, it looks like you're going to be rising and becoming more confident about being truly self-actualizing and so on. And there's going to be, it's like your head bangs into the ceiling. You go, I can't be here. And that there's a whole new way of operating, of doing your work. You're going to be doing some kind of healing work. But you look like you're going to be involved in a little clinic sort of thing. Interesting.
Around here, or when I move?
Are you going to move?
Well, you told me I'm going to.
Hang on a sec here. So, I'm trying to see it. All I know is, and I'm not sure about the physical. What I see is that it's like you embody other talents and other skills, and I think you're going to change jobs and everything. That's what I think. I think you're going to be starting a clinic or running a clinic or hiring another people to do a clinic with you or something. It looks like it's viable. It's a financially viable project. And you may do it up in this end at Bellingham, and I don't know. It looks like you move a little bit. I don't see you moving to Hawaii. Did you want to move to Hawaii?
Yeah, I said that I do. But you said that I probably was not going to.
Give it a shot. Don't make me right, huh? What'd you say?
Well, I still put my energy into dreaming about that, you know, because it just feels so good when I think about it.
Yeah, but you know what? You might be just timid about it. Maybe it's possible for you to create that. I'm just not seeing that in your... you know, the way you're radiating
right now.
Yeah. But change it. Yeah. Change anything I say. I'll just hold your hand and laugh and cheer for you. I'm going to have to go, Diane.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8 o'clock.
Okay. It was nice talking to you, Ronnie. I'll see you at the next healing gathering.
You bet you will. I'm so glad. Thanks for your call, Diane. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you all for listening. Thank you so much for listening. And I think my next paradigm shifters is going to be Stuart Wilde. Now, we lost each other in the cracks of shifting appointments, but I believe Stuart Wilde, who's well known for, well, lately for his conspiracy stuff, but always he was always a real character about waking up, waking up, waking up. Google Stuart Wilde and you'll know a little bit about it. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, I'm so glad to talk to you. Let me know what you think about this or guests or life or whatever. Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Good night and much love.